that was just an awesome song service. Enjoyed them specials. Hannah, when I heard the first strum of that keyboard, I'm like, well, we're in for some singing this time. She hit that first key, I'm like, boy, I like that. I like music. You know, I like it whenever people would just sing from their heart, you know, because I think that's where, I think God does too, you know. And maybe that's a little bit of the Hispanic side coming out of me. I don't know. They like loud music. I do too. You know, with when I remember we was in Tegucigalpa the first time, I was sitting in the front. They had two speakers on top of one another and another right beside it. So there's four speakers, big old speakers, and just you need to feel that adrenaline moving. Well, I liked it. I kind of liked it, you know. But, I like to be able to push yourself out of the way and just get in the spirit. So I enjoyed the singing, and I appreciate Brother Tim's song he sung, and glad to see that brother just get right back in the saddle again and being stronger than he was before. I want to say God bless you. I want to speak to you on a thought this morning, identified in the pattern. Identified in the pattern. We'll go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. She'll have these on my multimedia. It says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to its place where he rose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, but man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you. Take my nervousness, Lord. Help me just put it under subjection to your spirit. I ask you that you would just speak through this vessel, Lord. I give it to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We're talking about identified in the pattern. It must be hot. My glasses keep fogging up on me this morning. All the earth is full of labor. And just as mechanical parts in a watch, you know, just having the right parts is not enough. You know, you could have the right parts in the mechanical watch, but just having the parts is not enough. You've actually got to have the parts in place with one another. And for instance, like if you have a sprocket inside that, that sprocket's got to be alignment to where whenever it turns, it will grab wherever it's supposed to turn, and they'll turn together, and that's what makes it work. So it's actually really got to be in time in order for the watch to be in time.
Yeah.
Imagine that. But you know, having just parts and the right material is not enough. We got to have it positionally placed. And it's just like having medicine. Medicine must be taken correctly in order to get the right and desired result from the medicine. Well, the word is going to be the same way. Quote Brother Brennan says, he says, now that is what I find around most Christian life. Most. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. The most people that profess Christianity, they seem to have such a hard, struggling time to hold on. I believe it's because of a lack of correct teaching of the Bible. There's so much of a thing as holding on. There's no such thing as holding on. He done the holding on. The whole Christian principle is based upon rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to worry and struggle. You're just resting. That's all. Given rest, you enter into peace. That whole thing is finished. Them who he has called, he has justified. Who he justified, he has already glorified. That's quoting Scripture. Notice, it's nothing that you do or what you can do. It's what God has done for you in Christ you could not come to. Someone said, well, I tell you what, I just quit this and I went to seeking God. No man never sought God. Man don't seek God. God seeks man. The very beginning at the Garden of Eden proved it. Adam ought to have been running through the garden, hollering, Father, Father, where are you? But it was God going through the Garden of Eden, saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Adam was hiding, and that's the nature of man. Now, this is a good example of a quotation that can be misplaced, and it can lose its effect. Brother Brenham said the whole Christian experience is based on rest. Because a person can take it so far to one side and say, well, I'm supposed to rest. That means I don't need to pray. I don't need to seek God. I don't need to do these things because I'm resting in God. But you know what? That you've got to take your promised land. You are resting in the fact, in the revelation of who you are. You're resting in the revelation that you are a child of God. You're resting in those things. Can you say amen? You know, it's not a struggle for you to know those things, but you have to fight for your promise that God's given you. And you don't have to struggle wondering whether I'm a child of God or not. It's whether am I able to take my promise? Right. That's what the devil tries so hard. He knows your brother can get your promise, but he wants to take it from you. You know, having material misplaced is just as much or more damaging than having no material at all. Because if you talk to somebody, and the scripture talks about it, how at the end day they would be blind, naked, wretched, and don't even know it. It's really hard to talk scripture to somebody when you're talking about the word when they don't think that they have a problem.
Right.
That they're more damaging to themselves than if they would have never heard anything in the first place. And that's why it's so important to humble ourselves, because you know we need the word. We need revelation. We need leadership.
Right.
Now, this is another quote, Brother Graham. I got to build up to what we're trying to say. He says, now in order to study the scripture, Paul told Timothy, study it, rightly dividing the word of God, which is truth. There is three must the scripture. In using God's word, there is three things you must not do. Now let's study those for the next 10 minutes. Three things that you must not do. And all out in the land, wherever you are across the nation, be sure to put these down in your mind if you haven't got a pencil. You must not do these things. We tell you all the time how you must do. Now I'm going to tell you what you must not do. Now you must not misinterpret the word. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It needs no interpreter. And you must not misplace the word. And you must not dislocate the word. And if we would do either of these things, it throws the whole Bible into confusion and into chaos. The Bible is our absolute. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The Bible is our material. That's what the message that we believe. It all goes right back to the Bible. That's what I love about the prophet. Whenever he was speaking, he would say, take it back to the word. They said, Brother Brown, aren't you afraid that'll kill your ministry? He said, if you could kill my ministry by taking it back to the word, it needs to be destroyed. And I believe every minister says the same thing.
Right.
Take what we preach back to the word. Because if it's wrong, I want to be right. You say amen. Because you know what? It can't be killed. And I believe you should take your Christian experience back to the word.
Right.
Because if it can be killed by the word, it needs to be killed. There's something that needs to be challenged.
Yeah.
It does not. Whenever I sold cars, it never offended me for someone to preach against a salesman not doing things the right way. It did not offend me. I'd say, praise God, because if I'm doing something shady, I want corrected.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Right.
Same thing with ministry. It does not offend me if someone says, take what Daniel's saying back to the word. That does not offend me. I say, amen.
Right.
Take it back to the word. Take the message back to the word, because it will give you faith in it. Amen.
Right.
However, there's three things that we must do. However, we must not interpret the Bible. I believe it means this. It doesn't matter what you believe it means. What does it say? Because the word does not change. Amen.
Amen.
We must not misplace the Bible. Trying to apply scripture that doesn't fit your circumstance.
Right.
Yeah, it just hurts me so much when I hear somebody that don't even try remotely to live a Christian life, but when they're under challenge, they say, well, I'm a Christian. I stand up. That's the only time you've been a Christian is because you're under a trial right now.
Yeah.
You know, our life should be our testimony.
Amen.
You know, our life should be. I'm hot this morning for some reason. I don't know what it is. We must not displace the word. Try to say certain scriptures are not inspired. Because I'm telling you what, Mark 16 is still inspired. But just as sure as a bicycle with its chain popped off, an individual can wear themselves out with labor trying to accomplish something. You ever seen somebody with a bicycle sitting there pedaling and they ain't going nowhere? Brother and sister, I don't want to find that same mode in somebody going to church and they're doing the work, they're doing the sacrifice, but they're not getting anything done.
Right.
Because you know what? That's what I say. It's not just having the material. It's having the material in its place to where whenever you're going through a song service, things are happening. When you're hearing the word being preached, things are happening. Because I tell you what, things are happening, but we have to make sure that we are partaking of the message that's been given to us. Because if we will partake of the message that's given to us, we will see results.
Right.
God will honor His word. God will confirm His word. Amen. The children of Israel labored for 40 years, wandering around, never entering into their rest. They were going through works, they were going through sacrifices, but where is the manifestation? In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. We are commanded to enter into a rest. Now look at what Brother says about this. He says, now here's the promise. Here's what we got to fear. If there's not a promise left to us, but there is a promise. And then the next thing, don't come short of it. Now the thought is this. If we are on our way to the rest, what is the rest? Where is it? Is it joining church? Is it being baptized a certain way? Is it becoming a member of the greatest church in the city? Wearing better clothes? Is it education? Is it money so we can quit work and just lay down and rest for the rest of our life, as we call it? That's not it. People have tried all kinds of things to enter into a rest. They tried getting more money. They tried the better clothes. They tried nicer cars. They tried nicer homes. They tried better educations. They tried changing friends. They tried joining clubs. They tried joining churches. They tried joining creeds. They tried getting a good retirement. Injury rest.
Right.
If you listen to a common thing throughout the world, what are they trying to do? Get to a rest.
Right.
They want to retire. But you know what? It's because that is a perversion of the rest that God has called us to.
Right.
A rest of the experience of knowing who we are. Resting in the Spirit with His Holy Ghost can come into our life and answer all those questions that you have deep inside.
Right.
Man is constantly trying to get to that place of rest. Brother Graham says, for unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news come to them in Egypt that God has sent a deliverer and is going to bring us out and take us to the promised land. The good news to us now that God has sent a deliverer, the Holy Ghost, and we're on the road to the promised land. Now people has made it creeds, denominations, but God still remains. The rest is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in your heart is what gives you that real rest on the inside of you. And that's what will keep you during the midst of a trial. The gospel in the old times, when you look at the old times, you know, it's real easy for us to look at the Bible and say, you know what, I see God and all that, because we're looking at it with an understanding of seeing what's happening. But whenever you're in the midst of that trial, you can't see that by understanding. The only thing you've got is to walk by faith.
Right.
I know this is probably hard to bust through this wall, but we're going to bust through this. Whenever you're going through a trial, you don't see them from the top of the pages of looking at the front to begin. Sometimes in the trial, the only thing you can see is the step in front of you.
Right.
And that's when you're walking by faith. Whenever you don't feel anything, you don't see anything, but I know according to the Bible, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do with this word. That's when you are walking by faith. Amen?
Right.
And the keystone of the Bible, Hebrews 13:9 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is a pattern that God sets forth, and when God sets a pattern, He can't change that pattern. So that's why I love about the Word, is that's why it gives me faith in it, is because I know if God did it for somebody else, He'll do it for me.
Right.
No matter what it is, if I need a miracle, if He did it for somebody else, He will do it for me.
Right.
Amen. Not by feelings, by faith. Whoever God starts anything, however He starts anything in that pattern, He must keep that. He says, now the gospel was preached unto them as well unto us, but the word preached did not profit them. Mind you, these people heard the word, but it did not profit them. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Oh, my brethren, let me stop here for a minute. No matter how much the word is preached, how well you like the way it's been preached, unless you yourself are a partaker of that, it won't do you one bit of good. We must be partakers of the gospel. If you look at the definition of partake, and we're talking about partaking of the gospel. To partake means to take part or experience something along with others. It means to have a portion or as a food or a drink. It means to possess or share a certain nature or an attribute. So when a gospel is preached to you, it's whenever you can share that attribute, and it's whenever you can take that gospel and you can experience it. So if someone is receiving divine healing, I can experience divine healing. Right. If they're slaying a giant in front of them, for me to partake of that gospel, that means I am taking that and I'm applying it to my life, and I am going to fight my giant with the gospel that's been preached to me. Because right. That is partaking. Because just hearing the word is not partaking of the gospel. They heard the word, but they didn't partake it because it was not mixed with faith.
Right.
Amen. We must not just hear the word, we must experience the gospel. We must possess the nature of the gospel in our hearts and in our homes. The gospel was preached to the group of people, but it did not profit them. To profit means to be useful, to benefit, to advantage, to better, to prevail. So the gospel did not become useful to them that heard it. The gospel did not give them advantage over their enemies. The gospel did not better them. The gospel did not prevail over them. Why? Because they didn't receive it by faith. God can part waters. God can raise the dead. God can create worlds. But God will not go across your free moral agency. God has made you a free will agency. He has proven time and time again, I can part waters, I can do this, I can raise the dead, but he will not go over a free will agency.
Right.
God wants your approval. God wants you to say, yes, Lord, I believe it. Part the waters. You know, there's so many times there'll be a giant right on top of you, and you don't know what to do about it. And the whole time, God said, I want to fight him, but you've got to speak the word.
Right.
I want to fight him, but you've got to claim your promise. Amen. God will not override man's free moral agency. This is a pattern. Now I'm going to read you a quote. I'm going to try to slow down so you catch this. It says, tell the church age book. Seven golden candlesticks in Exodus 25:31. It says, about, and thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers, all be the same. The true church of Jesus Christ, the bride, is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. She is a glorious within and without. From beginning to end, she is the work of her Lord. And all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith, for God has spoken it. But not only is the candlestick of gold, it is of beaten gold. Handcrafted of beaten gold. According to her blueprints, which were spirit-given, outside of her Lord and Master Jesus Christ was ever a people so beaten and purged as the bride of Jesus Christ. Surely she is filling up the sufferings that Christ has left behind. Her goods are despoiled. Her life is in jeopardy. She is accounted as sheep for the slaughter. She killed all the day long. She suffers much, but in it all retaliates not. Neither does she cause others to suffer. Worthy of the gospel is this lovely bride of Christ. And as gold is malleable, whereas brass will break with a beating, this gold of God will bear her sufferings for the Lord. Not bowed, not broken, not destroyed, but formed as a thing of beauty and a joy forever by the trials and testings of this life. We will have trials.
Right.
And the trials that we have, when if you're going through a trial, it is supposed to be that way. Because when you're going through that trial is what molds the beauty that God is going to work through you. And remember, I want you to remember this again, we'll get to it later on. Whenever you look hindsight and look in the Old Testament, you can see God in the midst of what's going on, in the midst of that saying of God and the examples of the Bible. But you can remember, if you are in their day, they don't have the pages to look at. The only thing they have is the trial that's set before them. And they didn't even realize it. They were preaching the gospel right then. They were becoming the gospel made flesh in their day because they didn't have anything to look at. The only thing they could do is walk by faith. And if they had to do that back then, brother and sister, we will have to do that same thing. There will come obstacles upon our life to where we can't understand all the ins and outs. I don't understand all that, because if you understood it all, you wouldn't need faith. Right. The only thing we have is walking by faith. I know this word says it's true. I'm applying to my life the best I can. And when you're walking that, you are preaching the gospel. You are becoming the gospel made flesh today. Right. Man is not measured by his stature or his muscle, but he's measured by character. Yeah. And the church is the same way. And you know, the church is measured by character, and church is measured by individuals, because individuals makes a church. You know, you are what makes the church. And I remember doing a report in college. I don't watch football, but there's a man by the name of Tony Dungy. He's a famous football coach, won a lot of Super Bowls. And one of the things he brought out, he said, you know what makes, what I saw, what made better football team is you make better individuals.
Right.
It's because if you can make the individual better at everything that they are, they'll automatically be a better football team. And I believe that's the same way it is with churches. You're not just a good church member, you're a good person.
Right.
You're the best person that you can possibly, because when you do that, you're automatically going to be a good father. You're automatically going to be good at coming on church on time. You're automatically going to consecrate yourself. You're automatically going to be budgeting your money. Why? Because it's striving you to be the best you that you can possibly be. Amen.
Right.
Churches are individuals. The greatest thing that we can ever do is make the guy next to us feel like the big guy. You know, that's why I always tell my kids from a small age, whenever they're little, we're playing basketball, whatever we're doing, I say, even if you can beat the socks off that other kid, you don't do that. You let that kid have his day.
Right.
Because you know what? That may be the highlight of his entire week, that he beat you in basketball. And what did that do to you? You're fine. You're okay.
Right.
He'll beat me the next day, you know. And I'll do my best, too. I used to let them win. Now I give it everything I got, and they'll just beat the tar out of me. Now they'll say, Daddy, you want to play basketball? Well, we'll get there just a minute. Point of that is you make the person next to you, you make him feel like the better guy. Because that's what Christ did. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Bim says, and if we will just draw from this conclusion this morning, that's what we're here for. We've heard the Easter story over and over and read it back and forth, and today on your radio broadcast, you'll hear different ministers approaching it. But I thought for my little group this morning, the Lord has given me, I would approach it from a different standpoint if I could. Coming to a place of, why do we come to these troubles? What makes these things come? Why should a Christian ever be perplexed? Why would not everything just run perfect for a Christian? But it doesn't, and we know it. And sometimes we have more troubles when we become a Christian than we did when we were sinners. Of course. It's written, many is the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him from them all. God promised many afflictions, strange feelings, strange things that would be beyond our understanding, but it's always done for our good. We just can't understand it, because if we did, then it would not be faith to us. We would go with an understanding. But we do it, and we have it, and we believe by faith. His word. And it's going to work some good thing for us if we could grasp that today, on this morning, if we could grasp that all of our troubles, there is none of us immune to them, and if we can realize that those things are for our good. It changes your perception of it. If you can realize the trial that I'm going through, I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill coming up. I don't know how I'm going to do it. But one thing I know, the trial that I'm under, it's for my good.
Right.
And God said, I can overcome every single trial. Amen.
Amen.
But remember, hindsight is 20/20. If you look at hindsight, look at everybody else in the Bible, you'll see all the, you got to remember, they didn't have the understanding. All they could do was walk by faith. We read about the widow of Zarephath. And we can see in the scriptures before and after. And we can look at that with understanding. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I do want to have just a little bit, just a couple of minutes. The widow of Zarephath, I was talking about, when we look at things in hindsight of scriptures, we can see the full understanding of it. But in her day, she didn't have the understanding. All she could do is walk is what was in front of her. This was a woman that was starving to death. This was a woman that was serving God to the best of her ability. This was a woman that prayed with her son every night. And in the midst of all of this, through the famine of the world, because the rain had stopped, there was a famine going on, she was serving God the best of her ability. I'm here to tell you, there is a pressure, there is a grind on the world today.
Right.
People are living paycheck to paycheck, trying to make it by. And there's nothing they can do about it, except depend on God. And it will get worse. People, this woman was going through this, and in the midst of all this, here come a prophet coming down the side, and I know you know the scripture, I've talked to you many times about it, how the Lord said, I have commanded a woman to sustain thee. In the midst of her trial, she heard nothing, she felt nothing, but the word said that she will sustain thee, and she sustained the prophet. In the midst of her trial, brother and sister, she was walking by faith. And I say that because you are the widow of Zarephath. You will come through a time in your life where you will be I am widow of Zarephath. There will be a time in my life where I am this scripture fulfilled today.
Right.
Where I don't know what to do. Now, later on, I'll probably look back with understanding. And I'll say, well, that was God here, that was God there, that was God here, that was God there. But when you're in the middle of the fight, you can't do that. Only thing you can do is walk forward and walking by faith. And listen to me, if you young people, whenever you're going through and you got financial stress coming upon you, you are the widow of Zarephath. And the way she got her need met is she gave respect to the anointing of God in her day. There was an anointing on this man of Elijah, and she respected that anointing. And because she respected it, she respected the word that he brought. In her time of need, God filled her barrel that it would not go dry. But Daniel, I'm not going through something. You just put that in your back pocket because it's coming. And then you pull it out and say, you know what? That's right. I am the widow of Zarephath. She didn't have the full understanding, but she was walking by faith. I do want to go to this scripture, if you don't mind, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, about the Shunammite woman. Or 8 through 16. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunam, where was a great woman. Isn't that something the Bible said she was great? She must be quite a woman. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he come thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Now for me, I believe this was a stern woman. This was a prophet that told her, you're going to have a child. She said, don't you lie to me. I was picturing a very stern, godly black woman. That's just what I always envision. Don't you lie to me. You're going to tell me a promise. It better come to pass.
Right.
And imagine the prophet. He's just a man. You know, he's just like, all I can do is take what God said. You're going to have a child, you know. This woman made room on the side of her house. She made a dwelling place to where that man of God going by would be attracted. She must have known he was a man that prayed, that liked to read his Bible, so she put a candle there, a table there, a bed there. She put barren, so to speak. I want my house to be such a habitation of the Spirit that the Spirit that's on this prophet cannot help it. He is drawn to my house. That's the kind of atmosphere we want in our house, brother and sister. We want an atmosphere when the Spirit of God may be going down the street that it will have to stop to come to our house. Because we have an environment that's welcoming to the Holy Spirit. We have an environment that is a rest for the Holy Spirit. You know, an evil spirit will walk in dry places because it finds no rest. You know, Jesus did all kinds of miracles, but he had no place to lay his head. Brother and sister, may we give him a place to lay his head. In our hearts, in our homes, in our cars, everything that I have, may it be an environment of rest for the Holy Spirit. May it be such a place where God can't help it. There ain't nothing like sleeping at the Black's house. That's the way we want it. Amen. We want our house to be an environment to where he can receive rest. And because she did that, she said, you ask what you will. What do you have me to? And this woman wanted a baby. This wasn't just because Elijah claimed to be a man of God that she did these things. Elisha could have been walking by. He wasn't out saying, I'm the man of God. Whoever opens your house to me, you're going to be blessed. It was not like that at all. I believe he was a humble man. But God identified himself through Elisha. And I believe God wants, he will identify himself through his people today. God will identify himself through the ministry today. Help us to humble ourselves that God will identify himself through us. Amen. This woman was presenting the making of the gospel right then. This woman was not looking at an understanding of saying, this is what I shall do. This woman had an opportunity to cross her path, and she was walking by faith. And think of that, her testimony become the gospel. Amen? And we'll do that same thing. She told the man of God, do not lie to me about my child. And after the child grew up, the child died. The child fell over. Said, my head, and fell over. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 25 through 30. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it come to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold yonder, is that the Shunammite? Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? As she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord had hid it from me. And God hath not told me. Boy, a lot of people would get upset about that quote, wouldn't they? The prophet didn't know everything. That's the Bible. Right. Then she said, did I desire... I love this. Here comes that mama voice coming to her. Then she said, did I desire a son of the Lord? Did not I say, do not deceive me? Could you imagine the voice coming out of her? This was a great woman. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and he followed her. And I had to read that scripture again. I love this. This woman said, first of all, did not I say, don't lie to me? If you're going to give me a child, you better be giving me a child. Well, you got the child. And then he says, Gehazi, you take my staff, you go lay it on the child. She said, I am not leaving thee. I am not going to forsake thee. You look at the scripture. And he arose and followed her. This woman said, you're coming with me. She said, I'm not leaving you. And you're coming with me. Imagine the prophet walking behind the woman, following her. That's not me. The Bible says it right there. She said, and this woman was a great woman, stern enough. She said, you are coming with me because I said, do not lie to me. I said, you're going to give me a child. You better honor the word. And this prophet walked with her. I mean, you know what Scripture says? Scripture says the prophet laid on top of the child, put his mouth on the child, eyeball on the child, hands on the child, and God gave the child life again. This was a great woman of faith that said, you know what? God gave me the promise, and I want my promise.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Brings a whole new flavor of the taste of the woman that was waiting for the prophet of God. Remember, the prophet was on his way to a plane, and God tugged at his heart and started walking. That little woman was sitting on the deal with dew on her face. Maybe that's what inspired my thinking this was a stern black woman. You know, because the Bible says she was a great woman. This woman was sitting here with dew on her face watching. Here come the prophet. Didn't even know where he was going. Because God does not show the prophet everything. God will show the prophet what he needs to see. And that's it.
Right.
Yeah. He does not do public shows. He's a reverent God. But here was a prophet walking through there. I know you love the story, but why not talk about it? This little woman, this prophet was walking through, had a tug on his heart, singing one of them. Walked through there, and here was this Shunammite woman sitting on the porch, sitting there looking at it. Dew on her face. She says, "I is this Shunammite woman. Parson, I've been looking for you." She had a son that was dying, and this woman had a faith inside her that could tug at a prophet's heart.
Right.
I believe that woman was stern.
Yeah.
Not arrogant, stern in the faith. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We need some sternness, brother and sister.
Yeah.
I want my promise. I want my baby saved. Amen?
Yeah.
That's right. I love that. She said, "I will not leave thee." And the scripture says, the prophet followed her back. This woman acknowledged the presence of the Lord. And you know, I can't help but believe, where did she get her pattern from? I believe there was something inside her that must have heard of how Elisha followed Elijah. And Elijah said, "I'm going to be leaving you, son. I'm leaving." He said, "Wherever you go, I'm going." And everywhere Elijah would go, Elisha stayed right with her. Went wasn't Jericho the first time, it was Bethel. Went to Bethel first. He says, "You better stay here because the Lord's taking me." He says, "Nope, wherever you're going, I'm going." Went to Jericho. 50 other prophets come to him and says, "Won't you turn away? Just turn away." He said, "Don't you know the Lord's taking Elijah away from you?" He said, "Wherever he goes, I'm going." Is that right? How many knows your Bible? Then Elisha was walking with Elijah and come to the water of Jordan. And what did he do? He took the mantle and smote the water. Or parted the water, parted the waters, walked through the waters. Elisha was with him. Catch what I'm saying. Elisha was with Elijah. He says, "Wherever you go, I'm going. I'm not taking my eyes off of you. I'm going to follow you. Wherever you lead, I'm going to follow." He said, "If you're going to ask anything from God right now, what would you ask?" He could have asked for anything. He said, "I want a double portion of your spirit."
Right.
"I want a double portion of what you have. I want." He said, "This is a hard thing." I believe this woman heard of this. Of saying, you know what? The same faith that he had, if God can do that for him, he can do it for me.
Right.
And immediately, whenever Elisha needed to go across the water, what did he do? He took the same mantle that Elijah gave him, smote the water. He says, "Where is the God of Elijah?" The same God that can move through Elijah did the same works through Elisha. He was the first one to do that.
Right.
You ever notice that sometimes you'll be the first one to do something? There's a first giant you have to kill.
Right.
There's sometimes the first time you got to receive healing. I've never received healing before. There was a first time. Every person that ever received divine healing did it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Right.
Everybody that ever made 500 basketball shots, they made their first one.
Right.
Brother and sister, may today be the first one for you.
Amen.
And not just a divine healing. If you need healing, it's there for you. But whatever your divine promise is, may you be able to do that with faith of saying, you know what, I'm not looking at my circumstance with understanding. I'm looking at this by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Being the gospel made manifest. This woman was given a promise. Let me read this other quote. It says, talking about spirits. Brother Brim talks about how things are motivated by spirit. He said, now these spirits that you see moving, anything today, just like a government, a church, or anything, it's controlled by a spirit. Organizations are controlled by a spirit. Church organizations are controlled by a spirit. Churches are controlled by spirits. Individuals are controlled by spirits. Nations are controlled by spirits. Spirit was made. Therefore, the cosmic matters and life that were made, God made him in his own image. Talking about Adam. God made him in his own image before he put him five senses. We all are acquainted with that. How that God's first man was made in his image, which was a spirit man, not flesh. And he created them male and female. In the book of Genesis, everything starts out, and in the book of Revelation, it ends. A beautiful picture, if you go to studying this. Now, what I'm showing here is all things are controlled by a spirit. So the spirit of man was created, but the spirit could not do any manifestations until God put a body for him to work through. And this is how you know the life inside of a body is you can see what kind of spirit is inside the body is by the life that it's manifesting. Right. And you can look at a church and you can see the life inside of a church by the manifestations of the church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Just like a dog. How do you know it's a dog? Because he has the manifestations of a dog. And brother and sister, I say it goes back to individuals. May our individual life bear the manifestation that it is the Holy Spirit inside our life. Mm-hmm. A tree is known by its fruit. You don't manufacture anything. It is a bearing of there. Adam, you can look at the body. You can see what life he was by the Spirit, the manifestations that it was doing. Cain and Abel, going back to, we're talking about the pattern still. Cain and Abel both had a sacrifice before the Lord. And so what I really want to point out here is that remember that Cain was not some barbaric, satanic looking guy that walked around beating his chest. Cain was very religious. Cain had a beautiful altar. Cain had something that was wonderful. Cain had good intentions. Cain was sincere. Just having an altar in place is not it, brother and sister. It was the revelation of it because him and his brother both heard the word, but only Abel was partaker of the word that was given us.
Right.
They both heard the word. They both had the opportunity of rest, but only one of them caught that and was able to rest in that revelation of it's the blood of the Lamb. Does that make sense? They both had an opportunity. They both are religious. Brother Ben talked about in Genesis, it's a seed chapter, and it goes all the way through the book of Revelation. It talks about there's two different vines, and then that false vine is not some satanic-looking, devil-worshipping something. It is a religious movement, brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so hard in this last day, because you're talking with religious spirits. But listen, a religious spirit will always lift you up and make you arrogant. The Holy Spirit will always bring humility in your life.
Right.
It will always bring you humble to where you're humble before the Lord because it's a revelation. When a revelation is given to you, it brings a humble spirit. That's what I believe for me personally. It's Brother Daniel. Brother Tony, correct me later on if you want to, if he sees it needs to be. To me, beyond the curtain of time, it was a love divine. It was a godly love divine. And the reason that was is because we received the revelation on this side. And when you receive that revelation, it brings a divine love into your heart. It's nothing worked up. It is a revelation. It is by faith Abel offered the right sacrifice. They both heard the word. The difference was Abel was able to grab that and partake of that and experience that and manifest that through his offering.
Right.
And you see, it wasn't, both of them were trying to identify God with their offering, but it takes God to identify himself through the offering.
Right.
And brother and sister, whenever we're doing this life of the gospel, we're doing a message of the hour, what we have, a lot of people are saying, God's here, God's here. They're putting God's name on their church. But it takes God to identify himself inside the church. We as Christians, we can say, I am a Christian, I am a Christian, I am a Christian. But it takes God to identify himself, that he acknowledges our faith. And the way he does it was by giving you the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Is that right? He acknowledged Abraham's faith with doing the circumcision. That was a sign that he had accepted Abraham's faith. Because it was a circumcision that he put in display. But listen, that circumcision was something done in private. You don't do that in front of everybody else. It was a private thing that Abraham did, but whenever God honored it,
It's the top of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Listen, the real genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, the real experience of God that I'm talking about is not going to be out there in front of everybody where everybody sees it. It is you and you alone with God. A consummation between a husband and wife. You go together. You have a wedding that ceremony takes place. They're out in front of everybody. Everybody sees the husband and wife. But listen to me, whenever they consummate together, they are not in front of everybody. It is behind closed doors where they are alone with one another, and it is a reverent, holy thing in the sight of God. And that's the way it is whenever you experience the Word. I'm talking about a genuine Word birth, brother and sister. It's not a public show in front of everybody else. It is something done in secret where you are alone with God, where God begins to reveal Himself to you. God begins to open His Word to you. That is where your revelation will come from.
Right.
If you desire revelation, this is where it comes from.
Right.
It's whenever you get alone with God. Get still before God, and God will come down. That Holy Spirit will come down, and He will begin to open and unveil His Word to you, and you'll begin to see things you've never seen before.
Right.
That's the truth, brother and sister. I love emotion just as much as anybody. Like I said, I like loud music to the point. I don't know. Getting over it, I guess. I love the upbeat more than anything. But brother and sister, that's not it. You can have a lot of upbeat music, stuff like that. That does not mean you have life.
Right.
I can show you in scriptures where times in the scriptures and talking about Eli had backslid. Knew his sons were backslid. And because they had backslid to do that, God sent a message. God rose a prophet up. The prophet spoke to him. He said, because of the sin in your life, he said, there is going to be a wiping out of you, your family, all the seed in your family. He said, this is going to happen. And whenever he did that, the God spoke to Samuel, told him, said, my son, Samuel went to Eli. He said, you called me? He said, no, I didn't call you. He said, go back and lay down. He went back to go lay down. God spoke to him again. Come to him. He said, you did call me. And then that's when Eli said, wait, this is God talking to this man. So he told him, you go again. You go lay down. When God speaks to you this time, you say, speak, Lord, hear mine. So he went to his house. He went back to lay down. God spoke to him, and God gave him the prophecy. He said, because of the sin that's taken place, because Eli loved his sons more than he loved me, because you've done this, I'm going to wipe the seed out. There's not going to be a seed, an old man in your home. Is that right? Am I telling you the truth?
Right.
He said, these things are going to take place. Now watch. The children of Israel were going to go to battle. They lost their battle, and they said, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. Let's get the Ark of the Covenant, because we know when we get the Ark of the Covenant, God moves mountains.
Right.
So they went and got the Ark of the Covenant, put it right in the midst, and there was a great shout inside the camp. They had the Word. They were shouting. They said, praise God, praise God, praise God. God is in the camp. Philistines heard it over there. They said, the God of Egypt that delivered them, this is their God. Fight you, it says, scripture says, quit you like men. But it says, fight like men unless we become their servant. You fight with all you got, or we're going to lose this battle. But then look at this picture. They had the Ark of the Covenant right in their midst. They were shouting. They were praising God. They were saying, oh God, let's go fight these devils. But because the Word was spoken of doing correction, and they wouldn't correct it, brother and sister, even though they had the Ark of the Covenant right in their midst, they lost the battle.
Right.
And they took the report back, and in the script, the prophecy was fulfilled, and Eli died. We know that's true. What am I saying? We as leaders, brother and sister, may we humble ourselves and say, Lord, help us humble ourselves that we have everything in alignment, because you know what? People will lose battles through disobedience. Mothers and fathers, hold this word diligently before the Lord, because in the midst of a battle, we don't want anything. When I read that scripture about Samuel, talking about God speaking to Samuel about Eli, he said, when a man sins against man, there's a judge that can go between them. He said, but when man sins against God, who can stand? Brother and sister, that is a holy, holy thing. And we know in the scriptures how they overcome them. And whenever the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant and tried to bash God, and they hung it up next to Dagon, their god, and they thought, here we are, now we're going to have the power that they'll have. We know what happened. Let me show you what happens when people try to hold the Word unworthily. The Philistines put their god, next to Dagon. And of course, Dagon fell down on his face, and they picked it back up, and Dagon fell again and broke to pieces. And they thought, because I can have the Ark of the Covenant, I can have this, I can have their power that they have inside the church. Listen to me, there's a lot of ministry today that are trying to have the power without the life.
Right.
Brother and sister, what am I saying? Help us, Lord, help us to have the life. Because they tried doing this thing, and because they tried holding the power like that, God sent emrods upon the Philistines. Is that right? You know what an emrod is? Go and study it. You won't believe it. It's very painful. I'm just going to say it. Lord knows it's the truth. It's hemorrhoids. God put hemorrhoids on them because what's the most disgusting thing you could possibly ever imagine that will ever be? Probably that. I don't know of anything worse you could ever come up with. God gave them the most disgusting thing that should be hidden in the darkness. You don't want people to know about that. God took that and he said, I'm going to make the whole city have it. He said, I'm going to make you so uncomfortable, the whole city will have it. People will die from it. And they said, what can we do to get away from this thing? He said, I'm going to tell you what you do. You make a god out of that. You want to make God so bad? You're going to make a god out of that. You make that out of gold and make the five mice. I think that's what the scripture said. Imagine going to that goldsmith. I want you to make this. Make what? He said, you make it out of gold with five mice, and you put that as a trespass offering before the Lord and put it on the milk cows. And see if they'll go straight over here. If they go straight where they're supposed to be, then we'll know that this was God. God led them straight where they needed to go. Ain't that something? I'm going to give you all kinds of stuff to read when you get home. You want to read a very good book? Read the Bible. This was a trespass offering. Now, this is the point I'm trying to close with. They were trying to hold the word unworthily, and because they did that, God exposed their hidden parts. He says, I'm going to take your hidden parts, and I'm going to make you make a god out of it so everybody will know about it. But what does God do to you and I? He will take your hidden parts, and he'll cover it by the blood of the Lamb. God will take everything that you've done, all the ugliness, every filthy thing that could possibly be in your life, if you will come and be a partaker of it, say, Lord, I want to lay it at your feet. I want to sit at your feet, Lord. I'm telling you, these are the truth. I say, this does not offend. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, it does not offend me for someone to say, check my word. He said, Brother Daniel, are you preaching about Brother Tony? Are you kidding me? We're on the same team. Stinky thinking. Brother and sister, I'm talking about there is a word sent forth, and it is a holy word. I think we need to remember, it is a holy word. That Ark of the Covenant, how many people would have lost their confidence in that Ark of the Covenant because they lost that battle? In the midst of your battle, that's when the devil will try to make you lose confidence. When my wife and I, when we had lost the baby of miscarriage, brother and sister, I had that Ark of the Covenant and I was waving as hard as I could by faith. God is going to restore our baby. God is going to heal my wife. God is going to do the impossible. God is going to do these things. God, praise God. God, I know it looks like it's not going to happen, but praise God, God's going to move this mountain. But in the midst of all that, brother and sister, there was a blanket come down, and we lost our baby. There will be times, right, even though you go with everything you've got, sometimes God's answer is no.
Yeah.
And then during that time, can you still love him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I love good endings of stories. Who does anybody? No Christian movie, they'll have the part where the music comes right then. You feel the precise moment, and right now, things start turning around. Right now, you got the feel-good Holy Ghost bumps. Real life, you don't have no music.
Right.
Real life, you don't feel anything. But sometimes, you're way down the road, and you'll finally look back and say, my gosh, that was God. I see God. Let's all stand. God in the midst of that. Brother and sister, let's talk about individuals and individual homes. That's where we want our life to be sacred to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I want you, if you come up for your mountain move, I don't, woe is me if I'm the reason you can't get your blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Woe is me.
woe is me if I will love my children more than I love God. Right. That's what the Bible said. Brother and sister, there's a standard. And we will hold that standard right. We can bring that Ark of the Covenant and we will conquer devils.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
I believe that he gives us divine providence. By his stripes we're healed. But there is one thing that will hinder us. Two things. Disobedience. And you simply not believe in it.
Yeah.
Because he can try all the way. There were some, you know, there were some cities, there were some cities he couldn't do one single miracle. He had to take the man and lead him all the way out of the city to pray for them. Jesus Christ couldn't do one miracle. A lot of times that preacher went through, come to this service, and there wasn't one person healed. There were some cities Jesus went to. He prayed for the whole thing. He wanted to pray for him, and he couldn't do one miracle. Help us to have it in a way when someone needs healing in this house, their healing is here.
Amen.
Amen? This is a checkup service. Lord, help us be able to do that. That's our Christ and musicians come forward. I've shown you patterns in the scriptures, identified in the pattern, how that whenever people will come the right way, walking by faith, God will answer those prayers. God will move mountains. Or you can be the Shunammite woman. You can be the man as Jonathan Goff always corrected, it's not a den of lions. It's not a lion's den, it's a den of lions. You can be the person that goes in the fiery furnace. You can do all this, and we can look at those things. The den of lions, the fiery furnace, the David going against Goliath. We can do those things, but listen to me. When those things happen, it's when there was obedience to the word.
Right.
But if you have willful disobedience inside your life, you will lose battles. You want to know why the nation is going through what they're going through? Leadership is backslid.
Right.
That's right. They try to say, I'm Republican, I'm Democrat. They're all backslid. Every single one. If you think any of them is out for you to look for your better good, you've lost your mind.
Right.
They don't care about you no more than anything. They're backslid. Everybody underneath them will suffer the consequences. There was a man, Brother Jason Watkins, preached a message several years ago, probably 15 years ago, leaders die last. And you can play something like this if you want to. He's talking about leaders die last. I'm really talking to leaders this morning. I'm talking to myself, Brother Tony, mothers, fathers, all the way down. Leaders die last. To where we have got to be held responsible because the people under us will suffer if we don't. Is that right? We've got to hold ourselves accountable before God because everything under my authority, everything that I'm in control of, it must be done right according to God's word. I feel such a heaviness in my heart to try to get this point across. We do not know how much more time we have left over. We don't know. God could take me home tomorrow, and the only thing you'll have to know is what I've left with you. The people that you have influence over in your life, you will leave this earth one day unless God takes you in a rapture. The only thing they're going to have is what you've left with them. What are you leaving with them? What is it? What is the commitment that you've been given? What is it expressing to somebody? Because listen to me, if you're not holding your life according to the word, if you're not doing full obedience to what the Holy Ghost tells you, even though you put the Ark of the Covenant right in your midst, you will lose the battle. We must apply that token, brother and sister. We must apply that blood to our life afresh and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I'm unclean, God. I'm unclean. There was the man, I don't remember his name, and when he had the dream, he said he thought he was without sin. And he came into the presence of that Lord. He said, have you ever sinned in your life? Have you ever done this in your life? He said, in the presence of that light, I was so dirty. Brother and sister, he's a holy God. He's a holy fire, and he wants to purify. He's a consuming fire. Such an urgency, Lord, and become an atheist, God. Lord, that I allow things in my house, Lord, that I know shouldn't be there. And because of my disobedience, I cause people to lose their lives. I cause people to lose their battles. Oh, God, I ask you, walk the aisles this morning, Lord. Lord, would you knock on hearts afresh this morning, Lord? Lord God, that we can identify with the right pattern, Lord. Lord, I've given patterns, Lord, this morning by your grace, Lord, of have women that walk by faith. They didn't feel anything. They didn't see anything. They walked by faith. And because there was obedience between them and you, you answered their prayer. You moved their mountains. Lord, and I give another pattern, Lord, of showing how that people have, they tried to apply the same word, the same principle. But because there was sin in the life, you couldn't move upon their mountains, Lord. Oh, God, I ask you, Lord, help us to be identified with the right pattern, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would just walk through the building, Lord, this morning. Lord, would you knock on hearts, Lord? Lord God, touch our brother Tony this morning. Lord, encourage him, Lord. Lord, the devil trying to come against him in every way in his flesh, Lord. But we know by your stripes he is healed, Lord. Lord Jesus, when he's past these things, Lord, may he press the battle, Lord. Lord, not turning to the left, not turning to the right, Lord. Lord Jesus, I'm moving forward with this gospel as straight as he knows, Lord. God, I ask you, come, Lord. Walk the aisles, Lord. Minister their hearts, Lord Jesus.